Okay, plan for today is I want to complete our discussion of the story of Shem, the kidnapping of Dinah, the rescue of Dinah. Today specifically, I want to focus on the debate between Shimon Levi on the one hand and Yaakov on the other side. So, debate between the Shivtika and Yaakov, lichora, about whether Shimon and Levi's military incursion, whether their operation in Shechem was good or bad. Right, it's very clear from the psukim that debate existed between the two of them, and I want us to get a better handle on the essence of the machlokas between them, the essence of the disagreement. Now, I'm going to start actually with the piece of the shiur that I think is less important, and that is the halachic framing of the Rambam, the Ramban, comment of the Meiri, a comment of the Ran in Masechet Sanhedrin, just to get to show you the centrality of the halachic debate here. But then I want to move to the part that I think is more important, is to go back into the Mefarshim on the Psukim to see how they read the text and its relevance for framing our moral compass with respect to what's justified, what's permissible in the context of war, and what's either impermissible or what's imprudent, depending on the commentator. So we all know the Rambam's interpretation of the story of Shechem in Perek Tes of Hilchos Melachim, Halacha Yud Daled. The Rambam here tells us that the Gentile societies are obligated in the mitzvah of dinim. They're obligated to appoint judges. They're obligated to appoint shoftim in every city to adjudicate and to enforce the six mitzvos of Bnei Noach. And then they have a separate mitzvah, or that itself is a separate mitzvah of dinim, to enforce the first six mitzvos. And just like Bnei Noach are chayev misa b'sayif for violating one of the first six sheva mitzvos, so too they are chayev sayif for violating the seventh of the sheva mitzvos. And then the Rambam digresses from his stating normative halachic doctrine to give us an interpretation of the story in the Torah in Bereishis Perek Lamed Daled. And he explains, "Mipnei zeh kol bale Shechem hariga sharei Shechem gazal v'heim ra'u v'yadu v'lo danuhu." So the reason why kol bale Shechem, the whole city of Shechem, was chayv misa, is because they failed to prosecute Shechem for his crimes. Which crime did he commit? The crime of gezel. I'll just say there's a machlokas here in the Achronim. Wherein was the gezel? Was the gezel the kidnapping, like Lo Signovu, that Shechem kidnapped Dinah, as we saw from the beginning of the presentation of the Torah in Perek Lamed Daled of Bereishis, or was it in the rape? Some of the Achronim have this very interesting theory that a violation of a person's autonomy in that way is a form of gezel. Now, I think it's actually not such a big chiddush, because even kidnapping itself, the fact that that constitutes gezel shows that gezel is not just about literally stealing from an owner, because it's hard to say that I could steal your body from you when I'm kidnapping. What's really happening in the case of kidnapping is what we would call under Western or common law, false imprisonment, right? Wrongfully confining somebody and taking away their control of themselves. So whether you view the gezeila as being inherent in the kidnapping or in the depriving Dina of her autonomy by violating her through the rape, either of those would constitute a gezel for which Shechem himself was chayav misa. The people of Shechem, the townsmen, the townspeople are liable, because Rambam writes, "Heim ra'u v'yadu v'lo danuhu." They saw this crime occur, they knew about it, and they failed to hold him to account. So therefore, they are chayav misa for failing to uphold the last of the sheva mitzvos, which is the mitzvah of dinim. Okay. Now again, I just think I'll just add one more ha'ara here, and that is we had been discussing in our shiurim, in our shir yomi, the hagdara of the chafetz shel Torah, and the Ramban's theory in Torah Hashem Tumimah about how all these stories are here, Masha Mashiir la'avos siman labanim, to give us moral guidance. To give us historical perspective on rights and wrongs. And it's just interesting, it's just striking that the Rambam directly does that. He doesn't have to digress into exegesis of the story of Shechem in Hilchos Malachim. But it seems like the Rambam here, the Gemara doesn't say this in any place. Not like the Talmud Bavli and Sanhedrin says, oh, Shechem violated Dinim. But the Rambam seems to be doing just like looking to the story for guidance to help frame his interpretation of Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, right? And it's actually an open question if we were to visit the Rambam's laboratory, his halachic laboratory, which of these came first? Did he first have the theory of Yer Chayiv Misa for failing to appoint Dayanim to hold the town account, a city accountable for the first six? Or did he, kind of have the, he was misupik about that and the story of, and the, sorry, did he first have the halachic theory and then he extended it to the narrative of Shechem? Or maybe, no, the story of Shechem itself is part of what framed his halachic interpretation of there being Chiyuv Misa for failing to implement dinim of appointing shoftim to prosecute for the first, for violations of the first six mitzvahs. Okay, everybody good with the Rambam's theory? Okay, now we all know the challenge to the Rambam's theory is that the more you support the actions of Shimon and Levi, the more you endorse their side in the Machlokas, the more difficult it becomes to account for
Echoes rebuke.
Yaakov's rebuke. We know that Yaakov rebukes them very harshly in the Psukim. Possibly he rebukes them twice, once in Perek Lamed Daled, in the context of the story of Shechem, and then again in Parshas Vayechi. It becomes more difficult to understand Yaakov's objection to Shimon and Levi. So we have to understand what was the Nekudas HaMachlokas here. The Ramban is bothered by this question on the spot. And he has a few things to say. So first he starts off, Rabbi Mishalu, Eich asu b'nei Yaakov atzadikim ha'maaseh hazeh lishpoch dam naki. On its face, it seems like they are spilling innocent blood. And he quotes the Rambam's answer. I'll just note here, the Ramban seems to add a line that we don't have in the Rambam. It's not clear if this is interpretive or if he had a different gears on the Rambam. He cites the language of the Rambam that we have, and then he adds, Ra echad sha'avar al achas mehen velo danuhu lahargo hareze haroe yeharig v'sayif. And even if any individual sees a violation of the six mitzvos, that individual has a chiyuv to hold the perpetrator to account. And if he fails to do so, he's liable misa b'sayif. So it makes the Rambam's point like very, very much chovas hayachid of enforcing good practice of others, good conduct of others. That's an enormously high level of personal accountability, if true. Okay. Now, the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. His main objection is that if the Rambam is right, Yaakov Avinu should have partook, should have been a active participant in the battle against Shechem. And even if he was afraid, even if Yaakov himself was a scaredy cat, it seems excessive for him to have cursed their anger in Parshas Vayechi, which is at a later point. He shouldn't have punished them by splitting up their nachla and Eretz Yisrael in Parshas Vayechi.
Does anybody say anything about Low saw mode.
In this case,
Yeah.
like Dina.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's Pashup's and why the brothers had to go in to rescue her. The
Yeah,
question is, was there killing of Kol Zecharim, all males in Shechem, was that necessary to rescue Dina? So it sounds from the psukim that we read in the earlier Shurim that there's no controversy that everybody agrees that it was permissible for them to rescue Dina and to kill Shechem himself, insofar as Shechem himself was holding her captive. The question is whether it was gratuitous for them to kill all the male inhabitants. Okay. Okay, so the Ramban here actually disagrees with the Rambam. He says, number one, he believes that the obligation to establish courts for non-Jewish societies is just a mitzvah saseh. It's just a mitzvah saseh, and there's no chi of misa b'sayif for violating a mitzvah saseh. That's Ramban's point number one. If you were to fail to implement dinim, zu mitzvah saseh bahem, and he says a chiddush, v'lo amru ela azhara shelahen zuhi misasan. The low tikra azhara ela hamaniya bilav. So whatever is obligatory upon the Bnei Noach as a positive commandment, that will not carry with it the punishment of death. So that's point of disagreement number one with the Rambam. Point of disagreement number two is that he says Bnei Yisrael, Jewish judges, have a special obligation of lo saguru mipnei ish. That once you start adjudicating, or if you're appointed as a judge, you can't decline to see a case to its conclusion because you're afraid for your life. So a judge couldn't say, like, I'm not going to adjudicate a mobster's case, or I'm not going to adjudicate Trump's criminal trials because I'm afraid of the consequences. You know, what if he becomes president and then he, you know, maybe he'll be vindictive? That there's a prohibition of lo saguru mipnei ish, right? Once you're established as a shofet, you can't be intimidated and recuse yourself, because that would really undermine the process, right? That's kind of the problem with all these mobsters, right? Like judges were too afraid to take legal action against them. But the Ramban argues that that is a Tosefes Hi BeYisrael. It doesn't apply to Bnei Noach, and he grounds that in Yerushalmi. So mikan sherashay hagoy lomer labali adin eini nizkak lechem, that permission to decline to prosecute a case exists for Bnei Noach. All the more so, you can't expect the people of Shechem to have prosecuted their dictator. Okay, so the Ramban's theory that as a technical matter of halacha, the Rambam is wrong for two main reasons. Number one, there's no chi of misa for failing to be memana shoftim to prosecute for the first six. That's because it's an asay. And number two, because there's no chiyuv of lo saguru mipnei ish when it comes to Bnei Noach. That's a din miyuchad when it comes to Bnei Yisrael. Now, the Ramban has another objection here to the Rambam, and this is more about just the narrative making sense of the story. He says, if you're looking for an excuse to say that the people of Shechem are chayiv misa, there's fruit, lower lying fruit. There's the easier target over here. Okay, what's that? What would be an easier way to say that they're chayiv misa? Leave.
They're of the Avodah
Exactly. They're over the Avodah Zarah. They're over in Gilui Arayos. They're Osa Chol Toevos. So they would have been chayiv misa independently for all these other Yisurim that they violated. You don't need to have this chiddush about dinim to get their chayiv misa. Now, that's an interesting point, and let me I'll say something about this in 1 second. The Ramban concludes, therefore, Ela she'ein adavar masul Yaakov abanav lasos behem adin. So the thought is, we could agree with the Rambam that Shechem is chayiv misa, the whole city is chayiv misa, because of their independently egregious, evil Avodah Zarah activities, or Gilui Arayos activities, or maybe even Ritzicha activities. But Who made Misamcha Lishsar Veshofet Aleinu? Who made the Bnei Yaakov, the sheriffs, to maintain world justice? So Ramban's point is Enochanami Misa, but it wasn't Musar Libnei Yaakov Lasos Behemadin. Now I want to point out here there's an ambiguity in the Ramban's language. Does the Ramban mean that it wasn't their obligation? Or does it mean that it was outside of their jurisdiction? Meaning they had no chiyuv to do it, or they had no right to do it? Which point is the Ramban making? Leave.
Well, maybe that's at the core between Yaakov and Shimon and Levi's argument, that Yaakov believes that because it's like technically out of their jurisdiction, therefore they shouldn't be adjudicating in this manner. Where Shimon and Levi would say, like, oh, we're not chayv to do it, but like we're gonna let them make our sister a harlot, like we're gonna, so we have to go above and beyond, like outside of our jurisdiction.
Okay, great. So I want to follow up on that point here for a second. Notice that for both the Rambam and the Ramban, well, I'm not sure if this, I'm curious what you think about for the Rambam. For the, on its face, it seems like for both the Rambam and the Ramban, the legal justification for killing the people of Shechem was actually very dispassionate, very academically legal. Nothing to do with like avenging the violation of Dina, their sister. Like, look, they violated Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. So there's like a, the Rambam saying, like, there's, they violated Sheva Mitzvot. They had a chiyuv to adjudicate. They didn't. So there's this kind of this dispassionate legal ground for killing them. Ayin Shum in Hilchos Malachim, as the Rambam would say. And same for the Ramban, right? Ayin Shum in Hilchos Masachah Sanhedrin, the laws of the, of Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. They violate Gilei Raos. They violate Avodah Zarah. That's the legal ground for the killing. Really nothing to do with Dina Achosam. Doesn't it sound that way from the legal justification that they're giving? Now the Ramban's raising this question of jurisdiction. Okay, so is it Musar Livnei Yaakov or is it not Musar till Livnei Yaakov? And then you could figure out. The question is, when the Ramban says this, is he saying that Yaakov believed it was Usser for them to start adjudicating mitzvos b'nei Noach, or was he saying we're not obligated to, and therefore, and we shouldn't, but because we have to worry about our safety and the public relations, about what are the Kanani and the Prizi going to say about us if we attack? Right, Ned, you had a thought on this, right? How did you had a thing about Eina Davar Musar Livnei Yaakov Lasos Behem Adin?
Yeah. I mean, the presumption is if you don't have jurisdiction and we're talking about killing people, then the presumption is if you don't have jurisdiction, then if I would go out in the street, Fifth Avenue, and shoot someone, I'd be chayav, for Ritzifa.
Right. Even though they're Chayav Misa.
Correct.
Right. It's a
Right.
tricky question.
If I, if some person was chayav, Misa Pesten, and I, decided to take matters into my own hands and shoot him in the street, that's not. Their authority is structure.
Right, so it's a difficult question then. What happens? Who's supposed to hold to account a community that fails to establish dinim, that or failed to establish judges? Right, so maybe no one is. Maybe that's the answer. It's Kadosh Baruch Hu who's supposed to exact justice
Which seems
against
to
them.
be, with respect to the Kanaanim, seems to be Pshat Chumash, right? They're Yushlam Avon, Kanaanim,
Okay,
and
but that's actually a good point because the Ramban there says that's the whole arc of history is that there are going to be wars and the Jewish people will come and evict the Canaanim through Milchama as repercussions, as punishment for their sin of Avodah Zarah.
right, but that's only once the divine command is given to do that.
Like Ale Raish or something.
Yeah.
But that's a question. Do you need a divine command for everything, or is there like a sense of hashgacha about how the wars are going to play out? So I think there's some guidance here if you look at the Ramban a little later on. So when he gives his answer, so he explains Yaakov's position, the Ein HaDavar Maser to them. He says, "B'nei Yaakov bavur shehayu anshei Shechem reshoim, damam chashiv lahem kemayin, ratzu lehinakem mehem becherev no kemes." So Shimon and Levi said, "Look, the people of Shechem, they're reshoim. They are violating Avodah Zarah. They're violating the Mitzvah B'nei Noach. So their blood is already mutter like mayim. Therefore, it's permissible for us to go and kill them." Meaning, sounds like they agree that they had no chiyuv. They didn't have a chiyuv of killing them. But the fact that they were chayav misa, it's like k'tute mechta shiure. In virtue of their being reshayim, that gives us license to do this military operation that we're undertaking.
This is a descriptive statement of what they thought, not it doesn't need to be correct.
No, he says, Bavur Shehayu Anshe Shem Rishayim, because the
Batamam
people.
Kamayim, right? Okay, wonderful that they thought that their blood was worthless, but maybe it wasn't.
No, isn't that in virtue of their being Rishayim?
No, meaning precisely because they thought that since they were Rishayim, therefore their lives are worthless and we can kill them. Therefore, Ratzalina Kemahem. But Lav Davka, that evaluation is correct, right? It could be Sha'an Sheshem Hayurashaim,
So
Nicha,
let's
let's
see. So
say.
we have to, okay, so we have to see where did Yaakov push back, right?
Or maybe Yaakov doesn't push back in, the same way.
Okay, well, the Ramban's going to tell us Yaakov's opposition here. So let's read it. So they thought, I think that the way I understand this Ramban is that Shimon and Levi said, look, they're already Chayav Misa, so their blood is Chashuv Kemayim. So that gives us license, Lihi Nakim Mehem Becherev No Kemes. Why did they kill the Melech, V'chol Anshei Iro? Ki Avadav Heim, V'sarim El Mishmato. I guess the thought here is that subjects have the same din as their ruler, right? If Shechem himself, so I thought it's like if Joe Biden declares war against Russia, then kind of we as the subjects of the American government are somehow nichlal in the milchama. Okay, and moreover, the Shvatim, Shimon and Levi didn't care about the agreement because ki haya lahachnif la'adonehem. The thought is they thought that even the people themselves who entered into the bris with Klal Yisrael weren't genuine in their commitment to it. That was just as a way of appeasing their master. Now, what's Yaakov's objection? So here the Ramban tells us, Yaakov amar lahem bikan, ki hevi'uhu bisakana, shenemar achartem osi lahavi sheni. So why is Yaakov upset here in Bereishis Lamed Daled at the moment of the attack? Because they put his life in jeopardy. So it sounds like Yaakov here is making a prudential, pikuach nefesh type argument against Shimon and Levi's activities, not an inherently moral argument about the wrongdoing of the killing of the Zecharim. Visham, and there, late meaning in, Vayechi, Arar Apam, he curses their anger, Shimon and Levi's, ki asu chamas la'anshei ha'ir, because they were deceptive with the way they dealt with the people of the city. How? Shamar lahem b'ma'amado v'yashavnu itchem v'yinu la'amechad, v'heim hayu, some say, botchim bahem, Uba'atu b'diburam, or Bochrim behem uba'atu b'diburam. Meaning, they lied. Shimon and Levi lied in the peace treaty, right? They broke their word. They said that they're going to enter into shalom with the people, and they didn't. So Yaakov here in Bereishis, he's upset because of the sakana. In Vayechi, he curses them because they failed. They wrongfully deceived the people of Shechem in their diplomatic negotiations. Somebody see that?
No, you have to read the next line. It's not just
Okay,
about
let's
this
get one second.
section.
One second. Ve'ulai yashuvu el Hashem v'hargu osam chinam. Maybe the people of Shechem would have done tshuva, meaning maybe their bris milah and their acceptance of the terms of Klal Yisrael could have been sincere. But it sounds like it's the ulai yashuvu el Hashem. Maybe they would do tshuva, and were they to do tshuva, hargu osam chinam. Then the killing of them would have been gratuitous. Kilo he reyu lahem klal, because there was no independent reason to kill the people, the kol zcharim. They didn't kidnap Dina, according to this understanding. So they should have been given the option to do tshuva. And that's Yaakov's criticism of Shimon and Levi. So it sounds like there are three separate ideas here. One is the sakana that they brought Klal Yisrael into. Two is the fact that they deceived the people of Shechem. And maybe related to that second point, or maybe a third independent point, is that Shimon and Levi should have given the people of Shechem the opportunity to do tshuva. Meaning, even though they were chayav misa for Avodah Zarah and for the Gilui Arayos, here that they were undergoing Bris Milah, Shimon and Levi really, given that they made this overture about now you're going to become part of Klal Yisrael, etc., they should have at least given them a reasonable way of living and becoming or taking on the Jewish life. The Ramban, by the way, later on, not here, but I think in Parshas Vayechi, says explicitly that maybe they would have become part of like the base Avram, like a Nefesh Asher Asu B'charon. I mean, they could have been part of like B'nai Beis Shel Avram Avinu, meaning that their gerus could have been sincere, and that would have been like a tshuva for the things that made them chayav misa lechatchila. Leave you a hand on this.
Yeah, wait. So I'm just trying to understand the first line in that Ramban. Is it saying that so the real reason for Shimon and Levi's actions was like a desire for revenge, and this like post facto, what kind of justified it was the fact that they were already Chai Misa?
Lihi nakim. Yeah, lihi nakim is an interesting phrase. It can mean like to avenge, right? Revenge might be a closely related term. We're going to define that in a second. But yes, the Ramban thinks that Shimon and Levi were motivated lihi nakim, and the kind of the legal argument why it was permissible to kill Kol Zachar is similar to the Rambam's, that they were independently Chayav Misa.
Okay.
Okay? Now, let me just give two other quick. Sorry, let me mention one other. Let me just show you this Ramban inside because it's very important. The Ramban in Devarim. Here. Here's the Ramban in Vayechi, Memtes. Hey. Shimon v'Levi Achim, etc. So Yaakov gets upset. Yaakov cuts off al Shimon v'Levi, Bahargam anshei ha'ir bavor she'asu chamas. Ki heim lo chatu lahem klal. Ubo bibris v'nimolu. Ula yashuvu el Hashem. V'yiyu chulam b'chlal anshei beis Avram. Minan nefesh asher asu b'charan. So he was worried that maybe the people of Shechem should have been given a more of a chance to develop their tshuva process now that they entered into this bris, and Shimon v'Levi were too quick in killing them. Okay. Notice over here, the Ramban adds maybe a further consideration, where he says, "V'od chara lo," Yaakov is further upset. "Shelo yomru ki ba'atzaso nase hadavar, v'yeh chilul Hashem sheyase hanavi chamas v'shod." Like, interesting question that like Yaakov shouldn't have been associated with the activities of Shimon v'Levi, even though for Shimon and Levi it was fine for them to do it. Like, it would have been chilul Hashem for like a navi of Yaakov's stature to be caught up in this activity. And what was important is just to make sure that it wasn't sanctioned by him. But for Shimon and Levi to act on their own, that may have been permissible. Okay, that's the important discussion of the Rambam and the Ramban. Let me just quickly mention the Meiri's comment and the Ran's comment, how they understand the dialectic or the disagreement. So here is the Meiri in Sanhedrin and Vavma Beis. He cites the Rambam's view. He says he personally agrees with the Rambam that failure to establish Dayanim and Shoftim is actually an azhara, and because it's an azhara, it brings with it chi of misa. So why did Yaakov then curse them? Velok kilalam ela shahaya rotze lamod b'diburo uvivrisam v'lasos imayim lefnei mishuras adin. It's extraordinary me'iri. Meaning, Yaakov in principle agreed with Shimon and Levi, but he thought that it was better to go lefnei mishuras adin. We don't. Yes, it would have been permissible. It would have been kosher, but even if it's permissible and kosher, that's from the level of din. You know, what's justified or what justice would allow. Maybe Klal Yisrael should have acted lefnim mishuras adin by letting this go. Very extraordinary view, no? Ned, what do you think of it?
I don't think it's that different from the Kiddush Hashem point that the Ramban makes.
Okay, but he seems to be
Expanding the
neutralizing.
audience, meaning expanding the subjects who are subject to that higher standard. But
Well, but I think what you get here is that it's true. If the Ramban just said that last point about the Kiddush Hashem thing, then it's very similar to the Meiri. But what's striking about the Meiri is that he's saying that Yaakov, agreed at the level of din with everything Shimon and Levi did. He just thought that it was still the wrongful, it still wasn't the right course of action, right? Sometimes it's better to go beyond what's justified and beyond what's permissible, be extra gracious, extra charitable. The Ran also has a very, I would say, he has a reading that, like the Meiri, brings Yaakov's camp closer to Shimon and Levi's camp. The Ran, on the spot in Sanhedrin and Vav Mebez, says, like the Ramban, that all the people of Shechem were kvar hayu chayav in Misa because they were ovdei avodah zara. Ela shelo hayadinam nimsar livnei Yaakov. Notice that's the same phrase the Ramban used. Right? It wasn't for Bnei Yaakov to prosecute the crimes of Shechem with respect to Gilui Raos and Shvichas and avodah zara. Why? Here's his chiddush. Shelo haya sipek biyadam lasos zeh hamishpat lulei hashgachas Hashem yisparach shenasan chititam al yoshvei haaretz v'zeh she'amar Yaakov achartem osi lahavishena biyoshvei haaretz. It's basically an ein somchin al anes principle. We'll see some other mefarshim say this. The reason why it wasn't maser biyad Yaakov abanav to prosecute Shechem is because you don't have a chiyuv to prosecute the amimin for violating the Sheva Mitzvos if you're putting your own life in harm's way to execute the prosecution. And that was Yaakov's argument. Meaning, so Yaakov, the chiddush here is that Yaakov and Shimon and Levi were very close in terms of how they understood the halachic basis for attacking Shechem. Where they disagreed is that Yaakov thought that pikuach nefesh principle or an ein somchin al anes principle pauses, breaks, gives them an out in carrying out the prosecution, carrying out the punishment of the people of Shechem. Leave, you have a hand on that?
Yeah, I'm trying to better understand the Meiri. So the argument is that Yaakov, like on a moral level, disagrees with them, that like they should be go over and beyond the din in order to be like to have mercy.
Here in the
Was
Ran or in the Meiri?
no, in the Meiri.
Yeah, in the Meiri, it sounds like Yaakov's saying everything you say, Shimon and Levi, is a good argument. But and it's true that we're justified in doing this. And but lefnim mishuras adin is that we shouldn't be killing the people of Shechem.
Okay. And here it's not like, but there's an important difference because, like, the Meiri, it seems to be like on a on a moral level, right? You should go out of your way to you
Oh,
shouldn't be
absolutely
spoiled.
correct. The
I'm
Meiri
saying,
system.
whereas this is just a pure self-interest.
Exactly. You can even look at it from like the who's the consideration challah, right? Like, so you're right. In the Meiri, the moral consideration of going lifnei mishuras hadin seems to be out of concern for the well, like the people of Shechem, like the well-being of the people of Shechem, and right their tzelem elokim or their right to life, etc. Whereas in the Ran, it's exclusively about the well-being of the Bnei Yaakov.
And maybe that seems to be the difference between Vayechi and which part and what is it, Vayeshev? Sorry, I forgot.
Vayishlach.
And Vayishlach. Like in Vayechi, it seems to be like a concern for the well-being of the people of Shechem, whereas in Vayishlach, it seems to be like just a scared about the sakana that they
Well,
brought upon
hold off
my
on
family.
the Vayechi question because we're going to look at that in a second.
Okay.
Now, I just want to say this is a very deep question about general waging war, like the Bar Kokhba rebellion, and it's a very deep question that the Mefarshim talk about, and you'll see some of the Mefarshim on the Chumash say it here in this parsha of Shechem about look, all things considered, you may have a chiyuv to wage milchama, but it's mitigated or it's put on hold if you don't have reason to believe that you're going to win it, right? So it's like a name sumchin ala nes principle when it comes to declaring war. And that's like the, you know, like the question was like the Bar Kokhba rebellion, the right thing to do. Even the rebellion of the Maccabim on Hanukkah, the Chashmonaim, was that like a justified war? It puts all of Klal Yisrael in sakana. You know, so is it a good thing to do if you'll have to be somech al anes. So the Ran here is telling us, like, no, like, you know, in terms of there's no chiyuv to declare a milchama if you don't think that you have the capacity to win the milchama. Okay, it's a very important dimension of the dinim of kriyas milchama in general. I also want to note that some people think that's, you know, part of this idea of Shlo Yalu Kechoma, the Shvuos, Hishbat Yaschem, Techbat, that the idea of even coming back to conquer Eretz Yisrael kind of have to waiting for the right time when Klal Yisrael is capable of doing that. So just related to this notion of Sipek biyadam laso ze hamishpat. Lule hashkachas Hashem Yisbarach. Okay. Now I want to take a few minutes just to go back into the exegesis, looking into the Mefarshim on the Parsha itself. And I just want to show you how like rich the words of the Rishonim are in the Mefarshim in capturing, I think, some of the salient categories here. So in our last year, I think we left off with a discussion of the Maharal. But I wanted to say, to summarize very briefly, we saw several theories for in the Mefarshim justifying the actions of Shimon and Levi, or explaining exactly what they did. So one point was that of the Abarbanel, who explained that they killed Kol Zachar because were they to kill Hamor and Shechem Bilvad, Yamdu Aleihem Kol Anshei Ha'ir. My diak in this Abarbanel was that Yamdu Aleihem Kol Bnei Ha'ir means that they could not have rescued Dina without killing Kol Zachar. Because the getting into the city and rescuing Dina, they were going to encounter the resistance of all the male battle-ready citizens of the city. And my diak here, I know Ned pushed back a little. Yamdu aleihem means like stand against them. So in order to achieve the objectives of the redeeming Dina, rescuing her, they had to kill Kol Zachar. If that's true, if this interpretation of the Abarbanel is true, then there was no issue of killing civilians here, or gratuitously killing civilians. Whoever was killed was actually a real threat. To the success of rescuing Dina. So, if you think that rescuing Dina is itself justified, then lechora, it's justified to kill the people who would stand in your way in rescuing her.
Where do you see he discusses anything about rescuing her?
What's that?
Where does Abravanel say anything about rescuing her?
I have to look back. I have the rest of the quote of it earlier. It's pretty clear from the psukim, though, that they only rescue Dina. We went through the psukim carefully. They only rescue her at the end of the operation.
That doesn't, again, that doesn't mean that that's their motivation. I don't think that's obvious.
You don't think it's obvious? It
Nope.
says, "Vayikhu es Dina achosam."
Yeah, they took her. That doesn't mean that that was the sort of justification for their activities or what they thought was justifying their actions.
Oh, it sounds like Hakazona
Yeah,
Yasu Zachosenu sounds like, boy, you're just
was
gonna
after.
leave. What are you gonna
But
say?
again, that could just be motivating
Yeah,
sort of
I was gonna say
injustice.
it's like it's obvious afterwards what their motivations were here.
No, that's still not obvious because Hakazona Yasachotenu could just be the justification for why they need to take vengeance. But that's not about rescue.
What's the Yamdu Aleihem Kol Anshei Iram? I mean, to me, that sounds like they're going to stand up against them. You mean if they were just to kill Shem? That's how
Yeah,
you're reading it?
you kill the president and you're gonna get the military on you. You're gonna get the Secret Service.
But then why Yahargu kol zachar Yahargu hamor v'shchem bilvad Yamdu aleihem kol anshei ha'ir? I read this as when they go in to redeem Dina. And they got to get her out of the palace of Hamor and Shechem. On their way out, the rest of the male inhabitants are going to stop them.
Does this mean the Abarbanel doesn't need like the Sheva Mitzvah's justification?
Exactly. You'll see all the Mefarshim here, and this is my point earlier that like the Rambam and the Ramban try to look at it through this like dispassionate academic justification of oh, they're Chayav Misa in virtue of violating the Sheva Mitzvos, whereas these Mefarshim are looking at it through the lens of like redeeming Dina or through the lens of venging her being taken into captivity. Okay. Ned, I don't think that the Rambam, I don't, okay, we'll hold off on that point. Now, the Rabag, I thought, gave a different explanation about why they killed Kol Zachar, and that was that. Ha'im roi sheyaseh Shechem achosenu kizona, v'hineh lo haya efshar la'arog Shechem im lo b'zeh ha'ofen, ki im yaharguhu levado, yinikmu nikmaso aviv v'chol yoshvei iro. I read this as saying that, yes, they were justified in killing Shechem and Hamor because Shechem and Hamor kidnapped Dinah. So that has to go punished. Okay, here's Ned. We could even take Ned's point here that it's punitive. But there's no way to punish Shechem and Hamor without then creating a whole city that's going to hate the Jews and want to revenge the killing of their leader. So Shimon and Levi preemptively killed Kol Hazcharim to forefend against the counterattack. Okay? So according to the Rabag's theory, to the extent that Shimon and Levi's actions are justified, it's justified in forfending against the future preempt. It's a preemptive elimination of the future threat that would have been created by the male inhabitants of Shechem wanting to avenge the killing of their leader. Romy, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, I'm just not sure why. I see that that's what's being said, but why is it true that, why is it being treated like a separate, two separate considerations? Are you justified in killing Shechem and Hamor? And then if you say that, then obviously they're justified in killing people who stop them from trying to do that. Meaning maybe part of the calculation, obviously I'm thinking about the current context, but like maybe the part of the calculation is how many people are gonna have to kill total. And like, oh, yeah, you are justified in saving Dina. But if you're going to kill a whole city to save Dina, maybe that shouldn't, right?
Right, one could have said that's good for the Machlokas Yaakov and the Shvatim, right? But had correct. I can't tell you the Rabag's logic seems to be the bar sorry, the Abarbanel's logic seems to be that one is justified in virtue of the legitimacy of the other. Right? Now you might say that's what Yaakov's disagreeing with. You know, he's saying, oh, look, you know, you're going to kill a whole city to get back Dina. Then it depends if Yaakov's criticism is morally speaking about the people who are chaf mi pesha, oh, they could have done tshuva, in which case he's making your point, right? Which is hagam that you're justified in killing Shechem, that doesn't automatically justify killing, right? Killing the people that you have to kill to cleanly kill Shechem.
Right.
Now, then it depends. The question for us in reading these stories is who's the Torah, whose view is the Torah endorsing on this machlokas? Then you'll see the mefarshim here actually try to figure that out, which we're going to talk about in 1 minute. Okay. Now, I'll just mention that the Rabag also, I mentioned this last year, the Rabag throws in the fact that they had to take, sorry, they had to, sorry, not here. The Abarbanel says that they took, he cites the Rabag, that they had to take the Nashim and the Taf. Because if the Nashim and the Taf remained independent, if they weren't taken captive by Shimon and Levi, then they would have sounded the alarm to the other local inhabitants, who then would have similar point, Romy, right?
It just keeps going further and further. That's like a very, I don't
So war
know,
is a messy thing, right? It's a
not
really
pashut,
messy
but yeah.
thing, right? It's not pasha at all. And by the way, in this week's parsha in Vayeshev, it says that the brothers were shepherding where? In Shechem. So Rashi there says they're shepherding in Shechem because that was a safe city because it was conquered by Shimon and Levi. Like Shimon and Levi, like Klal Yisrael exercised control over that city. That's why they were shepherding there. But the reason why they had to keep control is because they had to take over the educational system, right? They couldn't let the women and children, if they were to run away to another town, then they would just create another town and incite them as the enemies of the children of Yaakov. Okay. Okay, I wanted to now turn your attention, seconds, to some very important things that the psukim indicate. Okay. And here the Rishonim turn away to other justifications for killing the Zecharim of Shechem. There's a wild comment by Reb Chaim Paltiel, who says that kulam shachvu etzla kodem shiratzu lios nimulim v'zeo shamar akosiv asher timuach osam. When we learn through the psukim the first time, we notice that the pasuk uses the phrase ha'ir asher tim, they killed all the people of the city asher timu es achosam. I think that was the language. I'll find it in a second. Yeah, Pasuk B'nei Yaakov ba'al achalalim vayevozu ha'ir asher tim'u achosam. The Pasuk seems to hold this whole city to account. So why was the whole city morally accountable? Right? Asher tim'u achosam sounds like the whole city violated Dina. Reb Chaim Paltiel takes a kipshuto. He says it was like a group raping of Dina. Kulam shachvu etzla. And so then they each had personal accountability. And that would explain why Shimon and Levi killed Kol Zachar. It's a little more difficult to understand Yaakov's objection, unless no, he's saying oh, hagam that they violated Dina, they could still do tshuva, which would be remarkable if that's Yaakov's view, or it's still a pikuach nefesh for Klal Yisrael. But again, the more you go in justifying Shimon and Levi's actions by saying that they each member of the city actually committed the avera of raping Dina, the kind of the more mechudash Yaakov's position is. Most Rishonim though go for a weaker explanation for why the entire city was morally accountable. So the Rabag writes this, and other Mefarshim pick it up as well. V'yadam gam kein hay b'mal hazek, ki hay b'yadam limchos lo lasos ze hapoel hamaguna. Since they could have objected, or have been moche at least, that makes them morally culpable for the actions of their leader. Notice here, it's not clear if they could have stopped him. Right, he has two separate deas. Number one is biyadam limchos; they should have at least objected. O mipnei shelo hishtadlu shiyeh nerag aleha kemishpat. Kulam. The second day is the Rambam's deah, which is they should have prosecuted him. But then, what about the Rambam's objection? Right? Are they expected to stand up to prosecute a tyrant? How could they do that? And the answer then is really a weaker claim, which is no, at least they should have been moche. And failure to be moche is a time of complicitness in the wrongdoing. even if it's not as strong a requirement as the Rambam's, that you're expected to put him to death and have a trial for his wrongdoing. But at least say that's the wrong activity, right? Like when you think, for example, of the attacks against Israel of Hamas, it's one thing to say that the people of Gaza have a duty to overthrow Hamas. It's something else to say, oh, they have a duty to say, come on, this is a terrible thing. It's against Islam, it's against our cause, etc. So the Rabag saying that if you fail to be mocha, that itself is a form of moral complicitness, which is actually sufficient to justify Shimon and Levi's actions. Notice then, the theoretical justification is a type of punishment, right? It's like a punitive theory for the Kol Zachar. The Malbim has a different explanation. He says, on Hakizona Yasu Esach Hoseinu, he says, Anach, you Yaakov say, Anachnu Mesei Misbar Vegarim Baaretz V'Hischilu Lifrotz Banu V'Masha Lokhu Esach Hoseinu Kazona Im Nachrish Yasu Banu Kirtzonam V'Tzarech Laharos Lahem Ki Yesh Le'el Yadenu Lehinokim Min Hanogea Banu Le'ra. Like this is where I quoted, I think, did I quote last year? The Rav in Kol Didofik? Yeah. The idea that, like, you have to show that Jewish blood is not cheap. And the only way for the other inhabitants to stay away, Dafka, for them to be afraid of attacking the Jews, is to show that we are, like, going to avenge our sister's death, our sister's violation. Now, I want to point out that the Malbim's rationale then for the war is very different than the Ralbag's. The Ralbag makes it sound like it's punitive for the wrongdoing. The Malbim is saying that the logic of Hakizona Yasu Esach Hoseinu is actually kipshuto in the sense of lehinakem, right, to avenge. Avenge doesn't have to be punitive. It's an interesting question whether nekama means like a type of punishment for wrongdoing, or avenge as in making it very costly as a deterrent and as a signal to future aggressors that there's a cost for violating these norms. Okay, but I want to draw your attention to a comment by the Al-Sheikh, which is unbelievable, truly unbelievable. Like the Ralbag, he talks about the complicitness of the city of the people of Shechem. But he explains this. Second, did I get that right? Just want to make sure. Sorry, it's the Sfarno Shita. The Sfarno Yerashir Timu. Kilule haya kvar davar kazeh bilti nimas etzlam. Lo haya shchem ose kein. Amnam haya ze murgal etzlam. Shelokhu roshe ha'ir benos ha'am bilti rishus lenashim ala So he wants to say the whole city was complicit somehow in the rape of Dina or the violation of Dina. But not because of their failure to be mocha, but because the type of conduct that the people of the city engaged in permissioned the type of conduct that Shechem engaged in when he violated Dina. Meaning they were complicit in creating a culture where kidnapping people and violating them against their will was bilti nimas etzlam, because that's what all the people in the town did. So they were chayiv, not like in this technical sense that they should have admonished Shem for his activities, but because they were participants in creating a society where activities like this weren't taboo. They weren't unacceptable culturally. Now, I think if you look at the Mefarshim here, they all ground this type of logic in the Gemara of Shabbos. You could see, for example, the Shirmon quotes this explicitly on the on Ir Asher Timu Esdina. The Al Sheikh is clearly quoting this Gemara. The Radak, amongst others, Ha'ir Asher Timu Bachosam Ki Rabu Ra'u Kasher Lachu Shchem Bechazaka V'Lamichu. This failure to be Mocha theory, you can see that comes from a Gemara in Shabbos on Nundalid. Here, Kol Misha Efshar Limchos on Nundalid. Kol Misha Efshar Limchos La'Anshei Beso V'Lamicha Nitfas Al Anshei Beso. If Shir Efshar Limchos Ba'Anshei Iro, Nitfas Al Anshei Iro. B'Chol Olam Nitfas Al Kol Olam Kulo. A general point about collective responsibility for number one, failing to be moche, failing to stand up when your society is doing wrong. And if you take it in this direction of the Sfarno, it's even more powerful that if your activity permissions wrongful conduct of others, then you're considered to be a shutaf in that type of wrongful conduct. Right, so less about actively being mocha and more about whether you're like a co-participant in bad behavior, which then gives license to others to engage in similar types of wrong behavior. Romy, you have a hand, then leave.
I'm just curious if there's any thought about distinctions when it comes to the threat of death in response to protesting or
I mean, like
speaking.
the is that a is that a like if you're gonna be killed for protesting, you're saying?
Right.
Yeah. Difficult question. I think the answer is you probably could be mocha, in ways with that fall short of getting yourself killed, right?
Where
You know
itself
what
would
happens
be
if the
the other
regime is
stuff.
so brutal, right? But like in let's say in Russia, for example, if you think Russia's invasion of Ukraine is wrong, they're gonna throw you in jail for protesting the war. So do you have a chiyuv? The answer might be yes. Like some Mefarshim say, I think, like the Maral and beginning parts of Yeshev and the Gur Aryeh imply something along these lines. Like maybe there's like a chiyuv Yeharik Val Yavor type thing. Or I would put it weaker, which is maybe the chiyuv is always there. You may be allowed to take the risk of like I'm not going to be mocha, but then you are complicit in the consequences, and so you're a legitimate target. If Ukraine counterattacks Russia, right? It's
As opposed
tricky.
to what? As opposed to if you do complain, then Ukraine should not attack you
They may not
individually.
have a right to. They may not, it'll be wrongful of them to attack you. That's right.
The
What's that, Ned?
Gemara says Misha Efshar LaLimchot. Clearly, ability is a question. It's not just about oratory skills.
So Ned's dig is at the Gemara in Shabbos itself says Efshar. The question is, what does Efshar mean? At what cost? Does Efshar mean like, physically you can, or does it mean that within the space of your agency, that the punishment is not too costly?
I think there's also some discussion about that meaning whether or not it will work. Also, that's a different thing.
Like K'shem Shemekabim Tzochech Tochiach and
Right.
it's mitzvah lomar davar anishma, kach mitzvah shelo lomar davar sheino anishma. Yeah, so you'd have to factor that in here. I want to move us towards wrapping up. So I want to point us to two things. Leave, then I'll take your hand. Okay. So the question is, I think these are the central moral considerations. At least this is Shimon, seems to be what Shimon and Levi are relying on. I just want to point out, I'll just give you the Torah Tumah has also a citation of the same principle in the Gemara and Shabbos on the spot. And he says, Habir Bahu, Demikivan Shahadavar Nasa Bimamad Ha Eda Tala Ha Kosaves Hapula Bahem. Vachanami Kane, Kivan Shakola Ir Ro Viyadu, Tala Hadavar Ha Kosaves Hapula Bahem. It's pretty interesting that he doesn't even talk about the capacity to be mocha here. He sort of puts that aside here. And this, just if you read through the analysis, it's kind of the fact that it was done, b'mamad anshei ha'ir. They knew about it. It was done in their presence. So it kind of becomes like a public activity. And that's why they're described as ha'ir asher timu achosam. these are very important makoros to work through very carefully in trying to figure out the spheres of culpability and responsibility. Okay, let me just wrap up with the following two haros. Haro number one. Haro number one is the language of the psukim. The language of the psukim. The Torah we know gives the last word to Shimon and Levi, Akizona Yasa Achosenu. Right? They had some duty to respond to show that Dina wasn't Hefker. We spoke about this. For example, maybe if Israel doesn't respond, then Israel is partially permissioning attacks against Jews. Right? Like you're saying, oh, Jews are Hefker for the taking. So Shimon and Levi say, Akizona Yasa Achosenu. We saw the Malbim's theory that that's a response to Yaakov, right? We're going to deter future attacks against Jews, Dafka, by showing that we're going to respond. Just give me one second, guys. That we're going to respond. There's a comment of the, I believe it's the Al Sheikh. That's the Al Sheikh that I had before, where he says that Shimon and Levi believed here. Oh, sorry, it's the Sfarno again. That Shimon and Levi believed that the Hine Kishe Yizbonen Yoshev Haaretz Be'ela Ein Roi She Yiskomim. Yes, there's a chash that they'll come and they'll threaten us. But once they understand that we're here to avenge Dina and to rescue Dina, they'll understand that it's a justified war. It's interesting. Like, you got to just do better PR the other way. That's the way the Svarno understands the response. But I just want to say two things by way of conclusion of how the Torah seems to sum it up. Number one, the Torah ends, it concludes the story with Vayihi chitas Elokim al ha'arim asher sviyosem v'lo ad fruacha b'nei Yaakov. That the people didn't chase after Yaakov. So the Malbim says, oh, that's because Taka, they were afraid that Bnei Yisrael would defeat them in battle, just like they defeated Shechem. So the Malbim is using this to vindicate his own theory. The Abarbanel says, very interestingly, he says, this is the Torah teaching us that Shimon and Levi were right. Because the way he understands the debate between Yaakov on the one hand and Shimon and Levi on the other hand was that Yaakov's view was it doesn't make sense to avenge the rape of Dina. If we're all going to be killed in the process. So you could talk about preventing future attacks, you could talk about protecting Dina, but if we're going to die in the process, it's a futile endeavor. That's the way that Barbanel understands Yaakov's position. He says, but Shimon and Levi actually say, no. They say, better to die. Better to die in an act of integrity, doing what's right, than to live a life of abomination, lack of kavod, where Dina could be taken and violated at the discretion of her enemies. V'kvar hiskim das hamakom baruch hu she'asu ki haya chitas Elokim b'chol ha'arim. And Barbanel actually reads that conclusion about Hashem putting his fear in the eyes. No one else attacked, meaning so Yaakov's concerns were not justified in the end. Or didn't come to fruition, he sees that an endorsement of Shimon and Levi's actions, which is a chiddush. The last point I'll make is that the Ramban and some Mefarshim point to the cursing of Shimon and Levi in Sefer Bereishis, that Yaakov seems to scatter them among Shevet Yehuda. And maybe that's a raya that what they did is wrong. Like maybe the Torah gives the last word to Yaakov. So I think you could say there, and again, it's really an open question, is along the lines that no, Shimon and Levi became very dangerous because of their wielding power against Shechem. We saw that Barbanel already say this, that even when violence is justified, it's a really very dangerous thing to be wielded. And in the end, it harms the person who wields violence, and it's a threat to people who live amongst violent people like that. And this is Ma'isim B'chol Yom. So maybe you have justified use of power to win a war, but the harmful effects to you, we saw some of the moral costs about Kohanim duchening and David not being allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash, but you become violent in the process. And I think you could read Yaakov's cursing of Shimon and Levi. It's really cursing their anger. And he scatters them amongst the other Shvatim because they're too dangerous to remain as a unified tribe to wield their power again in a potentially violent way. So you could say that maybe Yaakov even ultimately agrees. Maybe he came around. Maybe he saw, like the Abarbanel said, that the activities of Shimon and Levi were justified and the nations didn't attack, v'chule v'chule. But nevertheless, he had to kill their anger, number because the anger itself is super dangerous. And as a consequence of their being the Anshei Milchama and being accustomed to violence and Klei Chamas Mecheirosehem, there have to be extra guardrails against them, even if what they did is justified. And that's really consistent with themes that we've explored in the past Shiurim, that look, even if there's a justification, so even let's assume that Shimon and Levi are right, if like on the Abarbanel's reading, there has to be this extreme caution and accounting for the future effects of the use of violence, even within your domestic society. And that's why Yaakov curses their anger, and he says Shimon and Levi can't be unified. They can't have their own territory. They have to be scattered amongst Yehuda, scattered amongst Klal Yisrael, to make sure that they can't wield power in this way. Okay, that's it for our discussions of Shechem. There's a lot more to discuss. I think we covered some of the main themes. We could, at a different point, try to wrap this up into like a tighter thesis about the value of civilians and when it's permissible. I just have to jump off now. Leave. Let me take your question later because I have to jump off for a din Torah now. But I think this is like a very informative sugya that the Torah gives us in this one parak in Bereishis about the complexities of war and using violence, the legitimate use of violence and legitimate targets, and maybe even proportionality based off Romy's discussion. This is the great machlokas between Yaakov and Shimon and Levi. Okay, shkoyach, guys. I'll see you all tomorrow at 12 o'clock. We'll have some Chanukah Divrei Torah at the party also. Great. See you tomorrow.